You're listening to Let's Talk Macro,
brought to you by Bandhan Mutual Fund.
Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Macro, everybody. Ahalya here, keeping you company on the podcast all about macroeconomics by Bandhan Mutual Fund, where we discuss interesting global and macroeconomic topics, events and developments. Today we have with us, as always, Srijit Balasubramanian, economist in the Fixed Income Fund Management team, to help us unpack the latest developments that we're going to spotlight. Welcome back, Srijit. How are you?
Thank you, Ahalya. I'm good. How's it going?
Going well. I think I literally woke up today just thinking about what we're going to speak about.
Okay.
And I'm excited because I think this is, a new take on something very specific with all of the action happening globally, particularly in the US after the Trump administration's policies from early this year. What the U.S. Central Bank, which is the Fed, will do is pretty much always on top of investors' minds. When will they cut interest rates? By how much and how fast are kind of the key questions that markets are constantly trying to evaluate, right? So today we're going to actually take a step back and discuss the Fed's dual goals, the current situation, and also the outlook for the variables that are driving the Fed's current policy stance. So a new kind of headline that might make people a little more comfortable rather than the ones they've been waking up to be honest. So Srijit, let's start with the Fed's goals. Could you tell us about the dual mandates and what really happens in a situation where the goals themselves are in tension?
The Fed is given two goals by the US Congress. One is to promote maximum employment, which is the highest level of employment or lowest level of unemployment that the economy can sustain while maintaining a stable inflation rate. The other is to promote stable prices for the goods and services purchased. Whenever the Federal Open Market Committee, the FOMC, makes a monetary policy decision, it affects current and expected short-term interest rates, just like any other central bank does. And this in turn affects, overall financial conditions in the economy. This then influences consumption and investment decisions of households and businesses with a lag. So the intention of this whole process is to impact aggregate demand in the economy and thus make progress on the employment and price mandates. Typically, the employment and price stability goals are complementary because demand side factors impact both the goals unidirectionally. So factors which increase demand, ceteris paribus is expected to increase both employment and prices. In a situation like the one the Fed has been flagging of late that it could find itself in, where the goals are in tension, it is supposed to consider the employment shortfalls and the inflation deviations and the different time horizons over which these gaps are projected to close. So these are the stated goals and strategy of the committee.
Okay, so those are the dual mandates. Now let's get into each of them. Okay. It's important to break down each of these. Let's start with maximum employment. What are the factors impacting that right now, and how do you see the current context playing out there?
First, remember the US exceptionalism story, something that we have spoken about before, where growth in the US is higher than other major advanced economies and also higher than its own underlying trend growth. Now this phenomenon is already gradually fading. We've previously discussed factors like those in the lower income quartiles and people who don't enjoy the benefits of owning assets being relatively worse off. So some sort of divergence within the aggregate story. This is essentially reflected in their lower savings and higher loan delinquency rates, the data that we see. And more recently, we also see some signs of moderation in the labor market, although headline unemployment rate is quite low, around 4.2% as we speak. For instance, unemployment insurance claims are rising. Duration of unemployment has risen. More people are now looking for work. Previous non-farm payroll additions are being actually revised down. And the quarterly census of employment and wages, the QCEW, in fact, suggests even fewer jobs are now getting added actually. So job gains are also getting narrower by sector. And it's being driven more by sectors like healthcare, which are, less sensitive to business cycles. Job gains in cyclical sectors have in fact slowed. The other factor is also the reduction in federal employment that we keep hearing about, and that is expected to impact not just the government employees but the associated contract workers also. Again, immigration was a major driver of labor supply growth in the last few years. So the impact on growth from recent policies to tighten immigration will be significant too. Similarly, higher tariffs, we talk about the price effect, but there'll also be impact on growth in the labor market. I mean, all in all, the Fed currently evaluates labor market conditions to be broadly in balance. But if you sort of see in detail, there are signs of moderation under the hood of a low and stable unemployment rate.
Yeah, I mean, signs of moderation in the labor market is what that indicates, and maybe not at the headline level, but definitely in pockets. So we're just going to have to keep an eye on that and see how it evolves, especially given the recent policies and, may I say, the volatility of the recent policies. You never know what's going to happen day after day. Yeah. So moving on to the other mandate, which is of price stability. What are the aspects at play there, Shijit? And how is the 2% inflation target of the Fed looking at the moment? This is something we spoke about quite recently on the podcast.
Yeah, so CPI inflation at the end of last year, 2024, was close to 3% year on year. Goods prices were falling, and like you said, we have spoken about this before, and services inflation was higher, and that is around 4.5%. And that was mainly because rentals and non-housing core services, which the Fed looks at closely as an underlying price trend, both of them were still above 4%, although, you know, it was directionally moderating. Now, the big factor this year has been the potential impact from higher import tariffs in the US. The expected average tariff rate now, as we speak, is lower than what probably one envisaged in early April. But this could change depending on, you know, what happens to tariffs after the current 90-day pause that we are in now. But the final number is still very likely to be higher from, say, end of last year. So the question then is, who will bear the burden of the price rise? Right. So most business surveys indicate definitely some pass-through to customers. Most inflation forecasts also reflect this. So a first-round impact of some magnitude from tariffs on prices is likely. What the Fed wants is to avoid second-round or longer-term effects. I mean, that's the Fed's job. Yeah. But it wants to wait and see the initial impact, you know, given the change in tariff policy that we're seeing, a little bit of back and forth. And also the, you know, the time lag that is involved from higher tariff rates to actual price hikes, you know, which is due to the shipping time and so on, right? Also, given the Fed's pandemic period high inflation experience, I believe, you know, eventually having to hike rates after sticking to the transitory narrative initially back then, it'll want to avoid any anchoring of longer term inflation expectations this time. So that'll also be, you know, on their mind. The other factor is immigration. And obviously, the inflation impact, if you see, is less clear than the growth impact, because immigrants are both a factor of production and a source of demand. So these are the broad factors that sort of shaping up inflation, what lies ahead for the target being achieved.
Okay, so we're expecting inflation from tariffs, but there is still a lack of clarity there. And the Fed is deciding to hold rates in that context. So that's on the Fed's dual goals. And finally, Shijit, that leaves me with only one question, which is for you and you only. What do you make of the current stance of the Fed's policy?
Okay. So the FOMC, the committee, left the policy rate unchanged at a mildly restrictive level at its recent meeting. So 4.25 to 4.5% is where the target for the federal funds rate is right now. And this it did because it allows them to respond based on how the inflation and labor market evolves in the next few months. For this year, it revised its inflation forecast further up and, you know, the growth forecast further down. So the summary of economic projections also still has a median of 50 basis points cut this year. But the number of participants, if you see, there are seven participants who don't see any rate cuts this year, which was only four in March. So that's actually gone up. So there is also some divergence now, if you see, in views among the committee members, you know, that's been emerging of late, with two of them recently mentioning they might support a rate cut at the next meeting in July. I mean, the point I would say to generally remember is that monetary policy is a blunt tool and it acts with long and variable time lags. So the FOMC takes into consideration the balance of risks, particularly given the still elevated uncertainty that we have today. And so far this year, it has chosen to be patient. Now, one could say that by waiting to see real-time price data for impact of tariffs, it is, you know, continuing to give more importance to, again, real-time data versus forward-looking data that monetary policy typically looks at. This, it says, is because, you know, although the inflation impact from tariff is likely, like we discussed, there is uncertainty on the timing, magnitude, second round effects, and so on. So that's broadly their thinking. But the other factor to consider is also the potential rate of change, or, you know, the rate of deterioration in data, particularly on growth and labor market, because, you know, things are not always gradual or steady or don't happen in a straight line. So I believe they'll have to keep that in mind too. But all in all, it leaves the Fed in a very unenviable situation.
Fair enough. And, you know, I think that provides a pretty comprehensive picture of a very volatile situation that keeps developing. So the Fed is basically deciding to wait it out for now, with inflation and labor market data likely to see quite some action in the coming months. And with that, we come to the end of the episode, which means only one thing. It's time for me to summarize the key takeaways. So first things first, the FOMC is entrusted with the dual goals to promote maximum employment and price stability. All its policy actions are intended to make progress on these, and it also has a stated strategy for when the goals are in tension. The second point of note, US economic exceptionalism has been moderating and policies on tariffs and immigration have accelerated this. We've spoken about US economic exceptionalism in our past episodes. So if you want more context on that, go ahead and listen to those. Now, there are also some clear signs of moderation in the labor market, although headline unemployment rate has been low and steady. Disinflation is in process, although services inflation is still higher than pre-pandemic, but the impact from tariffs is ahead of us. And finally, given the uncertainty of the exact impact of tariffs on inflation, the FOMC has decided to be patient and keep its policy rate unchanged. It has also revised up its inflation forecast and revised down its growth forecast for this year, and should continue to decide its policy stance based on how inflation and labor market data evolves in the next few months, which really will be very crucial, not just for the US, but of course for markets around it that will be impacted. So there's nothing left for us to do except keep a close eye on it, and of course tune in to Let's Talk Macro, because we'll have all of the information ready for you as and when it happens. That's it for today. Thank you so much, Regis, for joining us as always and guiding us through this discussion.
Thank you, Alia. My pleasure.
All right, we'll be back with another episode very soon. Until then, bye bye.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.